I pressed the record button this time.
So we're recording. This is live.
We're actually recording this time. Hello, Adina. How are you?
I'm doing all right. It's been a bit of a wild morning.
For both of, well, you and then you cueing me in on the
news.
I'm
sorry.
Why are you sorry?
Oh, I'm not sorry.
I would have found out eventually. I do check Instagram and it has been all over the social medias.
Well, for those who don't know.
Breaking news, by the way. This happened, came out this morning.
Which is why we're recording when hours, we are. Yeah. Broadway will remain shut until June 7th. That is the update that we have. And I'm a Broadway worker and Edwin's a Broadway-based worker. We knew this was going to be a long process and longer than kind of we originally anticipated when the first quarantine weeks and quarantine orders were coming in or isolation orders were coming in. But June 7th, that's another full 2 months.
Because we are in what? April?
It's April 8th. So Broadway's supposed to reopen in exactly 2 months. I hope so. I'm excited for that day.
You came in here and you told me that this morning and I had a little bit of a split second of these extreme emotions just sort of rushing and pulsating through me.
What extreme emotions? If you want to share.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, it's probably the same kind of emotions that a lot of other people are having as they are finding the news or coming across the news themselves. There was panic. There was worry. There was fear, concern.
Yep.
At the same time, and this is very much just how I operate, coupled with that, right as that sort of rush happens, it is immediately followed up with me wanting to just kind of laugh because what are you gonna do? I mean, what do you do?
What do you do? Edward and I are both throwing our hands up just in this. What is there to do? I mean, of course, be sad and fearful and anxious. And we've acknowledged those completely, and you and I have heavily acknowledged them as individuals over the last week, but all right.
Here we are. I don't know what else we can do except what we've currently been doing.
Keeping going, finding sustainability in this, which I think is obviously what we're working towards, but I feel like we're starting to confront those things, like specific grocery trips and really purposeful trips out. Because like I said yesterday, it's scary to go out. Really planning ahead in our food, but finding enjoyment in the in-between. But yeah, June 7th, Broadway will remain closed till June 7th, and that has felt like a dominant part of my morning.
Well, I mean, it sucks.
Yeah.
It sucks, but
I'm not surprised.
I'm not either.
I hope we successfully flatten the curve and figure out what's next, and June 7th sticks.
Mm-hmm. I feel like we could talk. There's a lot we could probably talk about this, but we're gonna move on.
Yeah,
I'm gonna ask
you how your morning was.
Okay, you can ask me how my morning was. What time is it? Oh, it's 1 o'clock.
We're good.
My morning has been it's been a little all over the place. I got up early this morning around 6:30, just because that's when I've been waking up. Potted around a bit, made some coffee. Finished my masks that I needed to send out today. Got those finished.
Oh, you're done for the day with masks?
No, for that shipment.
Oh.
I still, the orders keep coming in. Thank Jesus. So I have quite a bit more work to do. But the order that I needed to send out today, I've already sent out. So I can start working on next batch of things. So that's great. Other than that, not really too much. Oh, I started listening to, so yesterday your recommendation was Fletcher.
Uh-huh.
I started listening to her. I put her on. I was like, let me just check and see what she's like.
And?
She's cute.
Yeah?
Yeah, I like her. I will say that she's not something that I personally, I think, will gravitate to.
Yeah.
But I enjoy her. She's nice. She's cute. She's fun.
Did I describe her well?
I think yesterday you might have used the description of sort of sultry, or not sultry,
electronic,
but sort of
pop with a little bit of a sultry edge, I think.
Okay, the sultry, I didn't quite get. Pop is really what I got. Electronic, not so much.
Interesting.
But for me. But I wonder if my version of electronic is heavier. Heavy, because much heavier I than tend her. To, yeah. I like electronic, like EDM kind of music. Okay. I enjoy that.
I hate that. So this feels like okay. It veers
okay.
a little bit in that direction. Just just synthesized. Maybe that's a better okay. word for it.
Yeah, like there's definitely some synthesization. Synthesis, is that a word? I don't know that. Okay, we're going to move on. I find it interesting. Our two worldviews, our two perspectives. You describe that, her, that way. And for you, that is how you would describe her. For me, that is not at all.
Yeah.
How you would describe her, but that is very much dependent on your perspective, your worldview, your preferences, but and it's same for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
How's your morning? Putting aside this situation, how has your morning been? You baked some fabulous little, I call them little coffee cake muffins.
Yeah,
little
I guess coffee cake popover things. They were described as like pancake donuts, but they were a little bit heavier than I...
It's like a crumble.
Yeah.
Like a coffee cake crumble or something. Yeah. Delicious.
Brown butter, cinnamon sugar dipped muffins.
What, a chill morning for you? Chill more morning. Or less, yeah. All things considered. Do you have any updates or recommendations? Or not recommendations yet. We're not done yet. Any updates? Anything else you want to add before we get into the meat of today's show?
No, I'm good.
Okay. I've got nothing.
You got nothing?
Except for work, honey. I've just been work.
Working away.
So today, we're talking about... Passover. And so for me, somebody who has no context, no backstory, no information really, can you give the outsider the definition of what Passover is?
All right.
And let me, I will try not to interject, but I will probably have many questions yes. as you are talking.
I have a few different resources. I have help from my mom. Thanks, Rabbi. I have some music and I have... a little bit from one of my favorite Jewish queer activists on Instagram.
Amazing.
So
before we get started, Passover is starting today,
yes,
right?
Yes, it starts at sundown today and continues for 7 or 8 days.
Or 8 days?
It depends on where you are. If you are in Israel, you observe 7 days. If you aren't, you observe 8.
Why the difference?
I think it's the understanding of like timelines and lunar versus not lunar calendar. That is pretty typical. Outside of Israel, we observe 2 days of a holiday. Like we have 2 days of the Jewish New Year. I think calendars and being in the diaspora.
What is a diaspora? Girl, honey, you are using giant SAT words that I do not know the definition of.
So... there are lots of you. There are lots of ways to use the word diaspora or diasporic. I know there are African people who identify as part of the African diaspora. The definition I've found is specifically of Jews. It's the dispersion of Jews beyond Israel. Basically, Jews living outside Israel.
Okay.
Live in the diaspora, are diasporic Jews.
I guess I'm still struggling to understand why.
Why there's extra days of the holiday?
Right, for the people that are not in Israel.
It is like, so Jews in the diaspora who live outside Israel can be on the safe side and make sure they're celebrating the right day.
Celebrating the right day. So there's the fear.
Because of time zones and stuff like that. Because it's 7 hours, it's a different time. It's.
Oh, so everything is centered around Israel. That time frame, that location, that time zone.
I guess so. I don't know. I mean, I think that's the theory. And Jews also operate on a lunar calendar. So the calendar's different. Right, like there's okay. Jewish months. Like the Passover okay. starts on the 15th day of Nisan, which is the Jewish month that we are in.
Okay. I feel like I need to let you get us back on track. Yeah. Because otherwise I'm going to keep on asking around. Other questions and not focus. Okay. So.
Passover. Or Pesach.
Yes.
In Hebrew is one of the three major pilgrimage festivals of ancient Israel. It commemorates the Exodus from Egypt. Its name comes from the miracle in which God passed over the houses of the Israelites during the 10th plague.
So, okay, so I'm going to put it in more terms that maybe others that are not Jewish kind of the movie Prince of Egypt.
Oh, yeah.
That is a
we should
good,
watch that.
That's a fabulous movie.
Is it on Disney Plus?
You know what? We should just rent it. I don't think that's a Disney movie, but the music, it's not Alan
Menken. Oh, that is the story of Passover. Schwartz. That is the story of Moses. It is. Yes. That's the story of Passover. That's what we're celebrating.
But yeah, okay, so the now I have a better story. Context of, okay, yeah. Yes.
So it's the Exodus story.
Fabulous.
Moses, the Jews are slaves in Egypt. Moses is born, sent down the Nile, becomes the son of Pharaoh, eventually leaves, and comes back to save the Jews. That is the very abridged version.
Right. Oh, very.
And then there are 10 plagues. And after the 10th plague.
Which is the one where the firstborn of every household dies. Yes.
And because the Jews painted blood on the doorposts of their houses, God passed over their houses.
And so this holiday is to celebrate that.
I actually, I'm going to take issue with your word celebrate.
Okay.
Because it's commemorate. It should be commemorate. Because one of the things that I love about Passover is the celebration of our freedom, but also the reminders of the suffering of the Jews in the desert and the Egyptians. We acknowledge in our Seder, which is the big festive meal, the plight of the Egyptians and the loss of the Egyptians. And while we are celebrating freedom, there is an inherent bitterness because of slavery, because of the Egyptians' death of the firstborn and their death as the Jews were leaving. So for me, as an adult Jew, I really prefer the word commemorate because it should be a holiday to celebrate our exodus, but understand the past and look towards the future.
So it's Passover rather than holiday.
Yeah.
It's not a Christmas. It's not an Easter. This is Passover.
It is a time for family and to be together because Jews, while they aren't getting together tonight or tomorrow night, like I'm getting together with family tonight and tomorrow night on Zoom. But I think we should watch The Prince of Egypt tonight.
I'm totally down with that.
So the Seder, which is the festive meal, is the big celebration point or commemoration point.
And when does that happen, the Seder?
There will be one tonight and one tomorrow.
Why does that happen? Why 2 days?
Well, it happens once in Israel, but twice everywhere else.
Oh, okay. Okay. The two. Okay. Yeah. Got it.
And there's a Seder. The word Seder means order. And there's a very specific order of things you have to do.
Okay. What are they?
There's like 15.
Okay, can we do like the abridged version of the 15?
We can try.
Okay.
So there are just all of these specific traditions. You drink 8 cups of wine.
Are you going to drink 8 cups of wine, girl?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
But for most young Jews, Passover Seder is often the first time they get drunk.
I was going to say, there is no, what are we talking, little 2-ounce cups? Or are we talking like a full glass of wine?
Full glass of wine, but this is also over 2 hours, 3 hours. Some people's Seders, festive meals, last till 1 a.m.
Why 8? Wait, is it 8 or 6?
There's like 15 steps.
No, but the glasses of wine. How many glasses of wine?
I think it's 8.
It's 8, right? Uh-huh. Yes. Okay. So 8 glasses of wine. That's basically means that everybody who's going to be drinking wine, if you're going to stick to those strict rules or tradition, you're going to get drunk. So basically you're saying that God endorses drunkenness at least once a year.
God endorses drunkenness a lot. Jewish God.
I like your Jewish God.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, the Christian God did turn water into wine, so there you go.
So it's blessing over the wine, ritual washing of the hands. We dip parsley in salt water.
Why parsley and why salt water?
It's a bitter herb. The vegetable symbolizes the lowly origins of the Jewish people. It also symbolizes spring and renewal because there is an element of that to this holiday. And it's dipped in salt water to remember the tears of the Jews and the Egyptians.
I find it incredible that the Egyptians are very much intertwined in this holiday.
Absolutely. I mean, and especially in the version, in the way I commemorate and celebrate, I think that's a really important emphasis because it also, when you look into a modern context, when I think about Passover, I think about those who still need to be liberated. And that is this is a very reflective, very intense holiday because the other part of it is for these 8 days, your diet's supposed to change. You're not supposed to eat anything that is leavened.
Okay, we're going to put a pin in that. I swear, I'm going to ask.
No, I think this is actually a good time for
okay,
to ask.
Okay. Why no leaven?
So on Passover, we eat this, Jews eat this thing called matzah.
I'm familiar with
You're
that.
You're familiar. It's a very thin cracker. It's cooked in less than 18 minutes when it's made in the factory. So the yeast, so nothing gets a chance to actually rise. And that is supposed to mimic the bread that the Jews made as they were leaving Egypt because they left in such a rush. Pharaoh said, go, and they didn't even have time to let their bread rise. They just left.
Okay, so it's matzah's a reminder.
Yes, all of these things we eat and do are reminders in some way or another.
All right, so no leaven.
So no leaven. So after we eat the vegetable and the salt water, we come to matzah for the first time. We break the middle. So on your Seder table, on your festive table, you're going to have 3 pieces of matzah. You break the middle one and save half of it to become the dessert later. And then you tell the story of the Exodus, start to finish. You will sing.
Is there traditionally somebody in the house who is supposed to tell that story?
Usually it's done communally. The youngest person at the table will sing a song called the 4 Questions, and they ask questions that kind of lead into the story. There's also themes of curiosity and learning for this holiday, so me teaching you about it is super appropriate. The 4 questions that this young person would ask: how is this night different from all other nights? On all other nights, we eat leavened foods and matzah and crackers. Why tonight do we eat only matzah? On all other night, we eat all vegetables. Why on this night we eat only bitter vegetables? We eat bitter vegetables to remind us of the bitterness of Egypt. And on all other nights, we don't dip even once. Why on this night do we dip twice? The parsley and the salt water.
Okay. So you do you dip it once, then you dip it twice, then you eat it.
Yeah, and you say a blessing, and then you eat
it. Okay. What happens to the other 2 pieces of matzah that are on the table?
They serve other purposes later in the Seder.
Okay, all right.
So this is a schedule of events. You do another ritual hand washing. You say your first blessing over the matzah, and you eat a little bit. And then you eat the bitter herbs. In most cases, it's horseradish.
So we're on to different bitter herbs now.
Yes.
Okay.
And then you eventually dip the bitter into the sweet, which is, the sweet is haroset, which is this either dried fruit or apple mixture, kind of like a chutney.
Oh, that's what you're saving the apples for.
Yes. I'm saving apples in our kitchen to make some tomorrow.
Okay.
And that mixture symbolizes the mortar the Jews used to build in Egypt. And then eventually you combine all 3 things, horseradish, haroset, this fruit blend, and matzah, and you make a sandwich.
With the matzah being the quote-unquote bread.
Yep.
Okay.
Then you eat, and then you return to this half-broken matzah piece, and it gets hidden somewhere in the house, and the kids go looking for it.
Why? Where does that come from? What does that symbolize?
I think there are probably a lot more intense definitions, but here it's being, in what I'm reading on reformjudaism.org, it is, the idea is to keep the children awake and attentive throughout the meal and going through the Seder. So in theory, they get a reward. We always got dollar bills in accordance with our age.
What time does Passover start in the evening?
At sundown, technically, but probably your Seder will start around 6. If you're lucky, you're eating by 8.
I was going to say, okay, so that makes sense for this is a commitment.
This is an evening event. You know, really traditional Seders will go all night long.
This is fabulous.
Yeah.
Okay, so where are we on the list of things?
We're actually kind of almost done.
Okay.
There's a whole long blessing that I actually really enjoy that Jews say after meals.
Do you say that together? Does one person say it together? Okay.
And like we used to do it at summer camp after every meal, and there were hand gestures and silly replacement lyrics and all this stuff. So that brings up very fond memories for me. I also really like the tune, so I really enjoy singing it.
Can we post a link or something to one of your favorite renditions of this song onto the Instagram or something at some point?
I can try. I'm going to play you one of my other favorite songs, at the end of this.
Okay.
Because I, or at least a few seconds of it, because you gotta love Debbie Friedman.
Gotta love what?
Debbie Friedman. She's a Jewish artist.
I don't know who that is.
She's started writing and singing in the 70s, and she has some of the most famous, more liberal Jewish songs.
Fabulous.
And this song I'll play for you.
Okay.
At the end. So we say the grace after meals. There's another set of prayers. And then there's like closing out, which is there's a whole host of songs to sing and poems to read. And you finish by saying next year in Jerusalem, because this is a pilgrimage festival. In theory, next year for Passover, you want to be in Jerusalem. You want the Messiah to have come and you want to be in Jerusalem.
What an evening.
Did that make sense to you?
No, everything makes sense to me. And I think this is fabulous. And we you and I have discussed religion or tradition before. And I love tradition. I love this. I think this is fantastic. Because you know what else is happening here is there are memories being created. I can only imagine.
Oh.
The giant bag of memories you have of all these Passovers you've had with your mom and different family members and maybe probably different places you've had with other people. I mean, and hopefully it's all they're all mostly happy memories.
Oh, yeah. Passover is fun and always a production. I mean, you're supposed to clean your whole house and get rid of anything leavened.
Oh, you're supposed to get rid of everything leavened in your house for the Passover.
Yes, there are all sorts of crazy traditions for getting rid of all of this. We call it chametz. Like all your pasta. I mean, you're also not supposed to use stuff that has even touched something that has leavened. Like you're supposed to buy all fresh food.
Why you're supposed so to have a strict?
That's the dietary laws in Judaism. I mean, I would do the same if I had a kosher kitchen. The set of the glass set of dishes we have. It's my mom's old set of second Passover dishes. My mom has so many sets of dishes. Milk, meat, Passover milk. And at one point she had a Passover meat. I'm not sure she has her meat dishes anymore, but she has at least two full sets of dishes.
I love that. It's the
tradition. It's the time. It's this sense of renewal. It's redemption. I feel like I can't not mention this.
Go for it.
So part of the Exodus story is the 10 plagues.
Yes.
Blood, frogs, lice.
Lice? Or is it locusts?
No, more. There's more. That's only three.
I don't remember the lice one. Lice. Game. For whatever reason, I'm thinking 7 plagues. But 10 plagues. Okay. Because there was the blood. There's
blood, frogs, lice, flies. Livestock, pestilence, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, and the killing of the firstborn.
Oh, no, you're right. That sounds right. Okay. Yes, yes.
I want to say them in Hebrew because they sound cool.
Okay, please do.
Dam, blood, tsvardeya, frogs, kinim, lice, arov, flies, dever, livestock, pestilence, shrin, boils, barad, hail, Arbe, locusts, choshech, darkness, and makat bechorot, slaying of the firstborn.
Say that last one again.
Makat bechorot. It is more, it's the root is hitting, like striking down of the firstborn. And I bring this up because one of the traditions, one of the observances is we take our wine glass, this wine, one of these 6 cups we've been enjoying, and you stick your finger in, and as they name each plague, you remove wine from your glass. Less enjoyment for you, less pleasure for you, to commemorate the suffering of others. And the joke in our family was that if you licked your finger, you got the plagues.
Oh, man, okay.
And there's, we also have, like, plague bags that have a symbol for each of the plagues in them. That gets scattered around our house. So a little vial of fake blood, these kind of crazy flipping frogs, fake bugs everywhere, mini cows to represent cattle disease, sunglasses to represent darkness. So there are these fun elements too.
So you grew up in a pretty dominant Jewish community. Mm-hmm. And this is an identity. This is a culture. This is your world and your life. And I think that I love that tradition. And I love that you have this identity. Once you left that community and your family, was there ever a culture shock, or was it maybe not received well, or what was that transition like?
I think I went to a Jewish school, kindergarten to 12th grade, 13 years. My mom has been an ordained rabbi since before I was born. She had a part-time pulpit for 20 years.
A part-time pulpit?
She worked as a rabbi for a small synagogue that only met periodically.
Okay.
I grew up with Judaism as my life and a pillar and my grounding and my friends. It was my whole life. And eventually it was my choice. I made the decision to go to a Jewish high school, and I think it was the right decision for me. But then I got to college. I got to this very, very liberal, too cool for school, anti-Israel. Mm-hmm. Talking about the politics of Israel is completely separate.
Got it. Yes.
But
okay.
Anti-Israel politically and openly. So I was really uncomfortable. I also met people who were not encouraging, who wouldn't have asked questions like you do, who didn't care to ask questions like you do. So I really struggled in college. And the Jewish community that I tried to find was not what I was looking for. I have found my way back, it feels like, finally, to my Judaism and validation and a better understanding and a broader understanding. But it has definitely been a journey to return here.
Did you ever find that you struggled marrying the politics of Israel with your identity as a Jew? Or have you always kind of kept those separate? Or am I opening a can of worms that is maybe not appropriate for this conversation and this podcast episode?
It is a question I wouldn't mind answering after doing a little bit of research and not in the 5 minutes we have left on this
for
timer.
Sure. Okay.
I think it's a really interesting question. I think it's a very serious question that I would...
Because to me... I'm going to interrupt you real quick. Just to me, I feel like somebody who is not fully... knowledgeable on the politics of Israel, and clearly not fully versed in Judaism, there's probably a separation between the two, the people who practice Judaism and are Jews, but
that's very separate from political. Israel. Yeah, it's becoming easier to navigate that separation.
Okay.
I will say that, or that differentiation. The politics make my head hurt.
I know that that's a very complicated, multifaceted situation. So we're going to nix that.
Yes.
For now. Maybe we won't ever address it.
Who knows?
Depending on how this goes. But
I'm hoping this was part one of our Passover segment, because I want to draw you into a conversation about this time of year. I want to ask you questions about freedom and redemption and age. And I want to ask you the questions that Jews are asked to contemplate this time of year.
Ooh, okay. I was about to say, what, where do you see this going? I feel like, because it's today, it's tomorrow, and then it's also seven to eight days. Well, I mean, you have your Seder
days.
Today, and you have your Seder tomorrow, and then you have your 8 days. Mm-hmm. What happens on the last day?
It's just another, day of rest.
Okay. What do you do during the 8 days?
You just change your diet. Pretty much.
Okay.
And there are other observances you can make.
Okay. But more or less you go about business as usual.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And so there are a list of questions. And when do these questions come up? During the Seder?
Yes. And I'm going to reference specifically questions my mom sends out to her Seder attendees.
Okay. So I don't know if we want to address this on air, but do we want to do... every day a question and try and tie that in with answering that and contemplating that? Or do we want
I'll show you them and we'll see if they're broad enough for that.
Okay. All right. TBD, y'all.
TBD, y'all. But we'll come back for more contemplative questions about Passover.
Yeah, it sounds like we are not done with
this.
No,
I don't think we are. And I'm glad you agree.
Yeah. This is fascinating to me as an outsider. I love tradition. I love identity and what that is for people, and hearing what that is for people and what traditions people have. I love that.
This is not a caveat, but this is something I feel like I should say, especially to people who are listening who might not have even as much Jewish reference as you do. I am a very unique Jew. In my experience and my education, I definitely am on the reform, very liberal side. And there are Jews, even slightly more traditional, that I would consider pretty liberal Jews who would completely disagree with a lot of what I'm saying. So I want to emphasize that this is a very personal interpretation after 13 years of day school. I think we'll stop there for
now. Yeah, let's stop there because we've gone all over the place today.
And I hope you enjoyed. You got any recommendations for us?
Well, I think we can both agree to recommend The Prince of Egypt.
Hell yes, if you need a little bit of a Passover.
Stephen Schwartz, that's his name. I was trying to think of his name. He did the music for Prince of Egypt.
He also did the music for Wicked and Pippin.
Yes, yes, and yes. I think he's done it for a couple of... Yes, yes.
Prolific. All right, so there's your recommendation. Children of Eden.
I also have... No, we're going to... Let's leave it at Prince of Egypt, because I think that's perfect. Within what we're talking about. Yes, fabulous. Okay, that's our show, guys.
If you're enjoying our podcast, please subscribe, rate, and share us, specifically on iTunes.
Yes, that's what I was going to ask earlier, is if you guys could do us a huge favor, go into iTunes, give us a quick rate. We would much appreciate it.
Follow us on Instagram, Diaries of a COVID-19 Affair.
And then... please feel free to email us, diariesofacovid19affair@gmail.com.
I'm going to play you out with my favorite Passover song, Miriam's Song by Debbie Friedman, and I will tell you the story behind it tomorrow. Here we go. Bye!